This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
How long gone? Back from the playa. Chris Black here with my co-host DJ Them Jeans. How are you feeling after touching the decks this weekend?
I feel pretty energized. I had a good time DJing down in the Yucatan. You know, I was basically instructed, not so much given advice or suggestions on what I should do. It was more so a mandatory call to action with what I will be doing. And I was instructed by a group of people who were not paying me, had no real reason or ground to stand on in terms of telling me what I was going to be doing other than being gay and powerful. And that is enough for me to pretty much do whatever they tell me to do. And not in a submissive kind of way.
I mean, when you played the song from The Idol and a handful of people lit up like a Christmas tree, I knew that you were home. Mm-hmm. But I did, when you said that I'm not gay, but my USB stick is, that really stuck with me. That really stuck with me as the perfect description of what you played. So to set the scene, it was this giant penthouse at the Edition, which is it's the biggest one in North America. It's insane. It has like a full size pool.
It has a full size pool that is, you know, bigger than anyone's pool that they have in their house, overlooking a balcony over the ocean, the Caribbean. And then it has four bedrooms in this suite, and each bedroom has its own private pool as well. You know, it was a hotel room that was bigger than any person I know's house.
Yeah, for sure. And but there was several food stations.
And we know rich people.
The sun was shining, and there was a DJ from Miami who played before that, what we can only describe as Tilluminati.
Yes.
Was his kind of look and feel. And when Jason touched the stage with some simple Madonna, mm-hmm. it was like people had been fasting and they were finally able to eat.
Yeah, they had been eating Impossible Burgers, and I said, "Hey guys, I brought I brought White Castle, I brought Burger King, you know, I brought the bottom of the barrel," yeah. And they acted as if it was foie gras or some imported anchovies from Stir Crazy. They were gobbling it up. There was the DJ playing before me was a nice man who he seemed to have a miniature tripod for his iPhone set up so he could kind of live stream his DJ set so people all over the world can witness his flavor, and he was playing an Illuminati remix. He was playing a Tilluminati remix, which basically, I mean, I guess we'll blame Diplo for this. Hate to bring him up again, but you know, basically taking this style of music, which is just dance music, house music, and then adding kind of, I don't know, tribal, mm-hmm. minimal elements to it. And the problem with this genre of music is unless you are peaking on ayahuasca, it is unfortunately some of the most boring dance music that you can listen to.
That's right.
I could easily nap to it, no problemo. And but it's kind of what everyone feels like they have to play, only based on the geolocation of their CDJs at that moment.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
None of the people that were listening to this music live in the Yucatan, except for the hotel staff. And they probably don't want to hear it. And it was he was playing a remix from Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, who is a famous British actor, but also a known quantity in the DJ space.
Yeah, before they discovered him on the American Office series.
Yes,
and
yes,
you know,
yeah,
taking
yeah.
off to be one of the hottest actors alive and hottest man alive. He was like a British DJ, I think, like in the 90s or 2000s back in the day. So he comes from a pedigree, but this remix, was just just sounded like any old remix, and him being a famous celebrity person, probably he may have hired help for it, or a ghost producer gave him a lot of help with it at the very least. And I was like, kind of sarcastically, like, Idris Elba remix, okay, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, man, it's great, huh? And I was like, yeah, it's great, And it's just, generic dance music, Beatport top 100 kind of shit. And he's like, kind of bends over to me, pulls the headphone off his ear, and he's like, between you and me, I think you had a little help with this one. And I was like, yeah, no shit, buddy. No fucking shit.
Yeah, well, I trust a guy who's got...
Even people who make music have help with it.
15 beaded bracelets on each arm, you know what I mean? There's nothing There's nothing I trust more. But no, it was great fun. And
but also, at the same time, nicest, sweetest guy of all time.
Oh yeah, he's winning.
Amazing attitude.
I mean, he's winning.
I saw him at the pool.
He had a fucking 12-pack. He's doing better than us. Who gives a shit? Like, it's all good.
He had a 12-pack. He was DJing in slides.
Yeah, I'm not saying just like I don't mean a 12-pack of cervezas. I mean a 12-pack on the abs. Just to be very clear.
Yeah, he had me wide open. I had a shot of Yola, and I was ready to go.
Oh, I'm glad you lived through that. But it was a good time.
We barely lived through the flight home, though.
The flight home, for some reason, it really is, and I think everyone can relate to this. But when you're loyal to an airline, when you have to take another airline, it's like you've never flown before. It's literally like starting over from scratch. They charged me $100 to check a bag. I there was no TV. There's no Wi-Fi. It was third world on United.
And this was United Airlines, arguably top three or
top
Delta,
three, top
American
three
and
for
United?
Sure. Yeah, top three. It's huge for all our Midwestern listeners. It's a Chicago based.
It's the same planes. It's the same exact plane, except United is like, no TVs. Fuck it. Oh, you guys have Wi-Fi on them? No. I mean, that's not going to happen. And this was a 5-hour international flight. No food, no TVs, no nothing. And obviously, this is classic DJs complaining type shit. But, we are used to a certain standard of living with being loyal to the Delta Corporation. But I'm wondering, like, why isn't everyone member exclusively just purely on the TV alone
this just
thing.
Cements,
I feel like every Delta flight, not every.
This just cements that the Delta is the greatest, and that maybe we needed to be reminded. You know what I mean, Jason?
It was a Tulum style gratitude exercise. It was a gratitude ceremony.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a cacao gratitude ceremony. Yeah, I think that's. I feel fine. I feel good today. I had some calls this morning. I was able to go to the. Miracle Mile Equinox, tap in with all my grips and gaffers, and got my car washed, and now I'm talking to you. It's been, so far, it's a great LA day.
Yeah, man. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's like this every day, brother.
Welcome.
Welcome to my city.
The flight home was, I told you yesterday, I don't know why, but it felt worse than flying back from Korea, even though it was half the less than half the time.
It was a third of the flight time.
You know it's a rough crowd when the stewardess has to announce multiple times over the intercom service that you have to wear headphones if you're watching something on your phone or computer or iPad. Like but the thing about these kind of tropical airports, especially Mexico or anywhere, they're insane. They're just rammed with people who don't really know what's going on, and so you have to expect some kind of out of pocket behaviors.
Every single restaurant, every Guy Fieri lounge, everything in between, every Starbucks had 75 people in line, no matter where you went. You wanna buy a water from Hudson News, 45-minute wait to pay for it. I stole almost all my food because
I love that you'll steal food from there.
There's nobody there.
That you'll, I love that you'll steal food from the airport, but you won't bring drugs in, which is, I just feel like weed. I feel like shoplifting in Mexico, you might do more time than weed. I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I could
true.
Be wrong, but do your thing. I mean, I'm not trying to be a pussy, but I'm do your thing.
That's
but.
One way to look at it. That's one way to look at it.
It does make me feel like a narc. So
it's just a little Evian.
It's just a little Evian. It's not going to hurt anybody. Yeah, and you pointed out yesterday that on the, like on the, Mexico, they have different versions of all of our American classics that are non-GMO and have like more natural ingredients, like Doritos, combos, Pringles. These are of a higher
Takis.
Of a higher quality in Mexico. Is that safe to say?
The grass-fed, non-binary, non-GMO blue Takis just really tasted
for sure.
Of the earth. You know what I mean? It was rivaling a Suen or an M Cafe.
Damn, okay. So I didn't know that. And I would assume the opposite. So I'm glad that I learned that. So next time I go to it's like when a chick goes to Italy for vacation, it's like I ate pasta every day and lost weight. So next time I go to Mexico, I'm just gonna eat Doritos and combos and kind of because the ingredients are so natural, I should be fine.
Cool
right?
Ranch Pringles every day and I lost 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. That's the
well the thing that I did like about the snacks in Mexico at the airport, and it's something that really actually worked on me, which doesn't work with other things like cigarettes and alcohol, are they put warning labels on the food. So like I
high caloria. yeah
the calorias. Yeah, I posted a photo on my Instagram stories of a bag of pizza flavored combos, you know, combos. You're on a road trip through America. It's a goated road trip snack.
No, they pizza smash combos.
I mean, we all know it's dog food level quality.
Doesn't matter.
Dripping in sodium, but you still do it. It's a rite of passage. It's yummy. But I pick up this bag, and covering the entire bag was a warning label sticker. Yeah, sort of telling you, and it's all in Spanish.
The size of the sticker though is staggering. It's bigger. It's more jarring than the picture of like, you know, cancerous lungs on cigarettes in Italy.
It's true.
You know, it's staggering how big it is. The entire front. Like I would, if I was the brand, I would just be like, is this even worth it? They can't even see our logo.
I think, unfortunately, it is still worth it. I don't think it's too much of a deterrent for many people. Like I got to have my combo. Sorry, but. I really, like for one brief moment, I saw the pizza flavored combos and I was, you know, a little worse for wear, a little rode hard. I was, you know, kind of hung over, ready to come home, and I needed the comfort of a snacky cruncher, and I picked it up and I was like, oh shit, these are probably going to be good as hell. And then I started reading it and it was, you know, it's just telling you in my rudimentary Spanish, just saying like, you know, this is enough sodium for 5 days of human life. It's more calories than, you know, an entire meal. And by the end of it, I'm like, you know what? I'm just not in the mood anymore. I think I'm over it. Like I was truly talked down from the combos ledge.
Well, that's so good. That's good. Yeah, that's good that it worked. That's good that it worked. And I'm glad that it doesn't work with drugs and alcohol. That shows that you're strong. We have a guest today.
I got to have my Jim Beam.
We have a guest today. I wonder if he likes Jim Beam. Kyle Kinane is a comedian. His new special, Dirt Nap, is out March 4th. You can pre-order it now on 800poundgorillamedia.com, which is a great name for something, if I do say so myself. really rolls off the tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it does. So let's give Kyle a buzz.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard. The New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Koreatowns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, taking an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
Kyle, where are you? Like, I feel like you're in like a parent's basement in like Wisconsin, but this might be your house.
It's my basement.
Okay, it's your basement.
But all right, way to start it.
Where are you from? Where are you from?
Good vibes. What what Zoom court meeting are you attending from prison right now?
I've been told that this does give prison, and I respect that and agree with you. And I want to put that out there, kind of.
You are lit. You are lit like a suspect who knows to just ask for a lawyer right away.
Yeah, I'm worried about my future, and it shows.
Well, you know, Kyle, you do a lot of podcasts, and it's a lot of people congratulating each other about how funny they are and their specials that are coming out. But we know that you are also very funny, and give you a little dig. We want to be dug at as well.
Okay, let's dig each other out. Well, that sounds so supportive.
We don't do that.
Jason, that choice of words was very interesting. I don't know if that was on purpose or if you just kind of let that one spray.
Well, can I just say, this is audio only, but you both have drank very suspect beverages right away. Chris, you drank, I think, at least, is that a 3-gallon jug that you've...
Just a regular gallon of alkaline water, Kyle. I'm in L.A., goddammit. Sorry, it's not that a fucking Coors Light, okay?
That's a FEMA jug they give to third world countries. And Jason, I don't know what kind of protein powder you're trying to consume, but add more liquid. That looks like sand.
It does look a little... It looks like a timer that you flip over. It does look like a
timer. It looks like one of those sand sculptures you get at the mall.
Look, I'm a flavor guy, not a color guy. I don't see color as I'm consuming it.
He doesn't see color. He doesn't see color in the kitchen.
What flavor is Sidewalk? Because that's the color of that drink you're having right now.
You know, the cement, after a while you learn to appreciate it. But this is, you know, when they say when you combine too many colors, you just get brown. That's kind of what I've done. I've taken every gift from nature into my Vitamix, and it comes out brown. And it also comes out brown.
Yeah.
You can't imagine the nutrients he's getting from that ugly little cup.
Yeah, it does look like hobby cement, so I don't know what's going to happen. Really lock
it
up.
It tastes amazing. It's banana, blueberry, coconut, chocolate, peanut butter.
And what kind of brain powder did you put in there? What kind of supplemental... Nootropic.
You only know about brain powders because you have to do ad reads for them too, Kyle. Come on.
I don't push that snake oil. Only Hims. You know, that cure-all pill.
Oh, of course.
Is your hair gone and your dick's off? Don't worry. Just take this elixir that we've come up with. Honestly, are you guys sponsored by him? Sorry.
No, I wish we were.
I think I am. I don't know.
They're the one brand that doesn't sponsor us. But we have a menagerie of snake oil powders that we're pushing. I take all of them, of course, and they may or may not do anything at all.
That's the beauty, is that if you think they work, they do, and if you think they don't work, they don't. And that's fun.
That was the Marc Maron bit about it. I'm always anti-religion, but I guess I'm all right with people who are religious. He's like, because I take vitamins, and I don't know what they're doing.
It's the same. No, it really is. It really is.
But I get afraid if I don't take them.
It's a gamble.
I get afraid if I don't take them. They both cost us money.
But you didn't, Kyle, you didn't, where are you though, really?
I'm in my basement in Oregon.
Oh, you live in Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is making more sense.
He's in a Portland suburb.
No, now I'm in the city proper now.
Oh, you're in the city proper now.
I've since moved since the special came out. Yeah. I like Portland enough that I got a place.
I like that you moved into the city before the special came out because you're anticipating that it's going to hit hard.
Yeah. I wanted to, I really want to, ingratiate myself up here, which is not tough to do. You know, I'm a big hit with the tent communities.
Well, is there anything that you miss about the burbs now that you're a city folk?
I mean, Portland's pretty easy go. I mean, it hasn't been like a massive transition. I grew up like 45 minutes, like 20 miles outside of Chicago. So there's a pretty big transition from being bored out of your mind, smoking pot behind an old JCPenney's versus, oh my God, we're in the city and everything's dangerous and crazy and fun. Mm-hmm. Like, so,
yep.
Yeah. I'm all right. I'm a little quiet neighborhood here in Portland. I didn't move right. I kept, when I was looking for a place, I'm like, oh, but it's not by any nightlife. Good. 47. I don't need to be by any nightlife. The house is the nightlife. No, the house is the nightlife.
The house is the nightlife. Yeah, and the night is over at 8:45.
It's whenever I'm done playing my electronic drums that are just off to the right here, or one of these many guitars that I suck at.
Oh.
No shared walls, baby. Let's make some noise.
Oh, so you have a full man cave going on with instruments. Is there a plasma screen TV down there?
Oh, this whole house is a man cave.
Okay.
This is a man house. The TV's upstairs. There's one down here from the old place.
Do you live alone?
I live mostly alone. We have an apartment in LA that my girlfriend's at for the most part, but so I'm down there. I'm down there a lot.
So you don't let, do you let her come to this man house, or does she kind of have to sleep in a tent?
No. She's got half of the house.
Oh, okay. So you just separate church and state. I understand.
Yeah. She's got her spots. I got my spots. I mean, okay. Technically I thought she'd be more impressed with the couch that I bought that has speakers inside of it for more immersive cinematic experience.
So you could actually feel the sound.
She didn't love that.
You don't get it, babe.
Yeah, surround sound doesn't hit when you're just watching Love is Blind. It doesn't, you don't really need the dynamic immersion.
It can only do so much.
It ain't Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer.
Your old spot in L.A. was Beechwood. Where's the new L.A. abode?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but...
You don't have to dox.
There's several iconic landmarks in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm by the one that's the Arby's.
Okay.
Say no more, Kyle. Say no more.
One of my favorite Thai restaurants is right next to that Arby's, and I have a tough time finding parking.
Where do you go to Hoi Ka? Is that your spot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Real good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, love Hoi Ka.
Yeah, real good. And the dim sum place on the left, Vietnamese place on the right.
They're both, honestly, it's all pretty good.
Yeah. And then the Arby's, one of the last ones, it's hard to look at an Arby's without a hat and take it seriously these days.
I mean, Arby's they can't rebrand. Like, the hat is the hat. Like, you need the hat out front. It's a glowing beacon.
You can't lead with the beef.
No, you see an Arby's without the hat, you're like, nah, Arby's is disgusting. You see it with the hat, you're like, I think, you know what? I'll give it a shot.
It's fun disgusting.
When's the last time you had an Arby's?
Years.
Okay.
I don't eat meat anymore. Let alone Arby's meat.
You and Kyle are both pescatarians, so you may have more in common than you realize.
Okay.
I mean, is this by choice, or did your doctor tell you to do this, or is this a taste thing?
A little bit of the first two.
Okay.
Not the taste. I miss it all the time. I can look at meat and go like, I know that's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But between gout and just going like, I didn't give up. Fine, like choice cuts of meat.
Sure,
fine. I didn't give up like quail. It's like, oh, no more ground beef past midnight. That's like
the elk tartare.
Yeah, exactly. No more sliced nebulous Arby's meat that comes in a weird.
Okay, so you weren't giving up a lot, is what you're saying.
It feels kind of like Chris and I were. We both kind of grew up like straight edge hardcore bros. So we were both like vegan in high school. So then like the high school vegan diet of like.
Okay.
There's no meat in this nachos that I'm eating at Taco Bell, so I'm being healthy and but I'm also gaining 10 pounds a month.
Yeah, I still ate two of the Beyond Meat famous stars from Carl's Jr. yesterday.
I didn't know Carl's had a relationship with Beyond.
Carl,
I didn't know they had.
Here's a controversial opinion. I think it's better than the Impossible Whoppers.
I don't disagree with that.
I've never had any of the fast food burgers like this, and it makes me the Whopper, though, the smokiness does appeal to me, but can they get that same, can they achieve the smokiness and the lines, the famous grill marks on an Impossible Burger?
I mean, if you're pulling apart a wet Whopper to see if there's lines on it, I think you got a bigger issue. Like you're running back in there with a wet patty in your hand. Where's the line?
I mean,
this is not my way.
I haven't been in a Burger King in a while. I feel like they're hurting. I feel like BK is not kind of where it should be.
Chicken fries can only take you so far.
Yeah, there's some real abominations happening in there, but that Impossible Whopper showed up. I always liked Whoppers. I had a Whopper one time where I think the manager must have been there, so everybody was like trying to do it right. And I've never matched it since then.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah, one time somebody's like, hey, what if we don't just jizz ketchup and mayo all over the place? What if we don't just Peter North this thing with ketchup and mayo? Oh, people like it? Well, never mind.
What a concept.
Now I gotta ask for no ketchup, no mayo. Yeah.
I have a Carl's Jr. question for you. Why no Western bacon cheeseburger? And why the famous star? What's up with that?
Because the bacon and the because all the meat on it.
That could be a roadblock.
Okay.
Because the whole part we just talked about.
You can go sans bacon and still get the benefit of barbecue sauce and onion ring, though, right?
I am not going to sit in a drive-thru and try and explain what I want to the people that are making $6 an hour at Carl's Jr.
It is Carl's 2024. The customer service is a lot different than 1989 Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say to both of you, I've never been to a Carl's Jr., so I feel superior in some ways.
It's a Hardee's, Chris. It's a Hardee's.
It's a Hardee's. Have you been to Hardee's?
Okay, I've been to Hardee's only for breakfast.
All right, doesn't matter.
In 1990, but I mean, that's fair. I mean, I saw, Jason, that they were the FCC. Somebody's trying to block the merger of Kroger and Albertsons. Like, the government is trying to block that merger.
It's a monopoly.
Too powerful.
Everybody is bitching about how expensive groceries are. Like, you got one last competitor left. You're going to buy them out. Then we'll see how expensive groceries are.
I bet they're a little cheaper in Portland than down here in Los Angeles. But you know how Gelson's is.
Oh, man. You may as well just... You got to dress like Elton John to go into Gelson's. You got to dress like you're going to spend some cash. You ever go in there for like one thing? You need one thing and you're like, what? Why? What gauntlet have I chosen?
Like, I'm going to go buy dishwasher detergent?
Not at Gelson's. I use Instacart for my sparkling water delivery, and it's partly because I don't want to go into Gelson's, and but they have the best selection.
I actually, in my leaner years, I would literally go to Gelson's just to window shop. Like, I would get like a kombucha for $3.79 or whatever.
He doesn't mean leaner weight wise. He means leaner wallet wise.
Yeah. But I felt a warm suburban comfort in there, seeing like an 89-year-old grandma with Chanel earrings on, just buying like Cheerios for $9 at Gelson's, because like they don't even care or know that it can be found cheaper anywhere else.
Yeah.
It felt like nothing wrong can happen in there. You know what I mean?
No, Gelson's was definitely going into like the, like the diamond store at the jewelry store at the mall where people are just ready to dump cash. It was just Rodeo Drive for groceries. Or you can go to Vaughn's, which feels like the purge after midnight when you're supposed to stay at home. But I need some veggie sausage, so I'm gonna go get in a knife fight for it.
You gotta risk it all. I need
my Beyond Links.
Yeah, I better go through this Thriller video to get it.
Beyond Links. I had to stop at a 7-Eleven this morning to get this water because I didn't have time to go to a real grocery store, and they were blasting classical music. And I think it was an attempt
to rid
the front.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's classical music. It's supposed to be like industrial or like high-pitched noises. Classical music doesn't bother people.
Well, it's not Guantanamo. I think they want to attract the wealthy classical lovers. They want to attract the Niles and the Nileses of the Frasier franchise. And they want, you know, the street tough gang members to be like, oh, is this Bach?
Aggressive
I'm
serenity.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
You guys are hardcore guys. Come on, Aggressive Serenity. You guys heard of them?
I have their 7-inch, yeah.
Wait, what is Aggressive Serenity? Is that a Christian hardcore band?
They opened for Zayo. I saw them a couple times.
I was going to say, I used to live at Highland Park, and that same thing, I went to a 7-Eleven, and it was like Eddie Money or something, which was right up my alley, but it's 7 in the morning. I was late for work. But I'm like, hey, two tickets is enough for me to go to Paradise.
Okay, so you're saying they just basically, it's any music. It's up to the owner of the franchise. It's not like a mandated, like, you got to play classical, you got to play Eddie Money.
Yeah, I'm guessing that there's been like a playlist that's put forth before you got there, and maybe, you know, maybe industrial or something spoke to the many voices swirling in someone's head a little too well.
Yeah.
And the classical music is like, oh, no, it's too peaceful. I have to confront my demons, and they go elsewhere for it. But it's
I don't want to look inward.
Yeah, it's a real Noriega effort, which I really wanted to get a hold of that playlist that the military played to get Noriega out of his compound. It was like, it was Van Halen and everything. I'm like, all these are really good songs. I'm like, what if Noriega just liked the playlist?
He's like, I'm actually a big Nitzer Ebb fan. That's just so crazy. Yeah. Keep it pumping.
He's Shazamming off the balcony. Like, I haven't heard these guys. Thank you.
I didn't know this Nine Inch Nails song. This is good. Good shit.
Yeah.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
Speaking of dressing up like Elton John to go to Gelson's, you travel a lot. Chris and I travel a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
Do you now that we're, you know, in our 40s, we're full on adults, have you hit a thing where you have to maybe present an airplane look that is better than it was when you were a younger person? This is something that I'm sort of at war with myself right now.
No, I've gone the other way. Maximum comfort. The airlines aren't doing anything to step up their game. Why should I?
Okay.
I'm not trying to be offensive to the people around me. I'm not trying to smell or be like gross.
You're not going in barefoot.
Crocs.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll croc it up on a flight.
Do you get a high sitting in first class wearing Crocs?
I don't sit in first class. I pay whatever the cheapest flight is. I don't have any whatever loyalty programs I have are just because I'll fly whatever. I used to be with Delta, and then it turned into this absolutely arbitrary. I mean, I feel like there's got to be like a sketch or something done about it already, but like you're waiting to get it on your flight, and like gold members, all right, Kroger rewards members. Like it was every rewards program you ever signed up for got to get on the plane before.
AAA, Diners Club.
Yeah. AAA.
This reminds me of something that pisses me off. And Kyle, I don't know who your audience is. So you might have to tiptoe around this. But when the military gets...
But the military... But the military, oh, I got a glitch going on right now. Hold on.
They let the military board first. And I'm like, what for what? Like that doesn't make any sense. They made a bad decision. That doesn't mean they should get on the plane before me when I paid more.
I mean, I'll let them have that much because, like, it's always just been like one or two guys.
That no, of course, it's never the whole battalion.
Yeah, if it's like, well, why are you guys all going to Dallas today? Like, what's going on that I don't know? And what are you flying? Don't you have your own planes?
That's what I thought. Now, I always thought they had their own planes, but I guess that if you're traveling a lot, you're going everywhere, but you're saying that you're not loyal to any airline because you want the cheapest ticket.
I just want to get there as easy as possible. So I was flying Delta. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just go to Minneapolis every time I want to go past the Mississippi.
Yeah.
I got to go to Minneapolis and I got to travel on an airline that's going to book me in one of the largest airports in the nation. And for some reason you got one flight in Terminal A and my next flight leaves in 7 minutes in Terminal Z. And it's on me to get there.
Not Terminal Z.
And this is my Terminal Z open for aggressive serenity. You gave me this flight. And you're like, it's highly unlikely you're going to make it. I'm like, you gave it to me.
You did this. You did this to me. You did this to me.
So now it's just whatever. Whoever I boycotted United for the longest time because they did me dirty, but then they didn't get better, but every airline got worse, so I just fly whoever's going to get me there.
Yeah.
I'm a little
That's
guy.
That's kind of the sad part is you're like, what am I going to do? Not fly? They kind of have you bent over a little
bit. Yeah, and I'm a little dude. I'll sit in the middle seat. I don't care. Yeah,
good for you. There's a lot of mental freedom there. I like it.
Anybody who has to fly for any amount of time, take whatever money you're going to spend on a ticket or whatever the shit, buy the noise-canceling headphones, the good over-ear noise-canceling headphones, and gummy weed, and just do that before the flight, and then I'll see you when you wake up when you land, because it rules. I don't know what's going on. You could have 9 doors fly off a flight that I was on. I wouldn't notice. I'm asleep.
Okay. That's okay. I can't do the drugs. And I do think that makes a big difference. I think you're totally right. If I was zanned out in 32E, it would be a very different story than mm-hmm. sober in 1A.
I can't remember the last time I flew without a gummy.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got back from Mexico yesterday and I was at the airport high as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a burrito and didn't even eat it. I didn't even want it. I just bought it because it was a burrito, you know.
And you were in Mexico, yeah.
You know.
This is where they're from.
When in what a
gotta
row.
Take, I got to take
where they're from.
I'm in
Mexico
the motherland.
Mexico is sick. It's where burritos are from, actually. I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, I'm a bit of a foodie, so I like to go to the country of origin for my favorite stuff. Are you straight edge, Chris? Are you still straight edge?
I wish. No. I was straight edge, and then there was a period of not being straight edge, and then there was a period, and now there's a period of sobriety.
He was so not straight edge that he had to become straight edge.
Yeah.
You're trying to make up for some lost time.
Exactly. Yeah, running towards it.
Yeah, being straight edge really does stunt the growth when I started partying at like 20. And I grew up in Huntington Beach and everyone was like, I listened to Sublime. I started smoking weed at 11. I go to kickbacks every weekend and I was not doing any of that. So you really spend your 20s kind of being in your teens, I guess.
Yeah. It's everything Orange County. It was always Sublime for fucking and Pennywise for fighting. I was like,
damn,
just,
let's go.
Oh, my brother. Hello.
Damn, Jason. I just saw something that happened there. This is a saying I've never heard before.
Yeah.
I've never heard that saying before.
I mean, it was a little triggering because the people who listened to Pennywise were beating me up, but it still hit close to home.
I didn't know. I went, it's okay. So the time United did me wrong, I was supposed to be getting to Humboldt County for shows. They just canceled the flight because there wasn't enough people on it. And so it was a St. Patrick's Day, and Millencolin was playing at the Whiskey. And I went and saw, I'm like, all right, I'll go see Millencolin. I'm like, oh, Millencolin's like a fun, where are they from, Sweden or something? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of goofy. I did not know that brought out the flat-billed, hardcore bros just in the pit, just taking swings at everything that could be their dad that left. You know, just going hard. I'm like, oh, I thought this was like a fun band from Europe that sounds silly, and these guys are trying to kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah, like, right. It's. I remember that, like, because you listen to it and it is kind of sweet, goofy punk, and you're in high school, and you're like, oh, this is fun and cute, and. But it brings out like the San Pedro longshoremen who have a knife in their sock to come do exactly what he said.
Yeah, I did not expect, like the metal militia motocross dudes to come in high sticking everybody. I was like, okay, I was gonna stand in the back anyway. I can't afford to spill this beer. It was $27, but I'm not even getting close to the pit on this one.
I didn't know Millencolin was still putting in work like that, if I'm being completely honest.
I mean, this was 10 some years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. I bet they still are putting in work. I don't want to disparage them, but that is...
I'm sure.
Yeah. That's a long time. I'm sure
they're doing just fine.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that either about the flat brims.
As a seasoned traveler, Chris and I talk about it a lot on the podcast, where like we love the airport because it's sort of just like you get to see America and society and all of its people. Mm-hmm. You know, just all intermingling with one. You get to see rich people being inconvenienced, and you know, just life in general. It's cool to see, but there is the uptick in trend of people dressing like paramilitary groups and dudes wearing shirts with AR-15s on them and stuff like that. Do you feel like this is a bubble that's gonna pop and we're gonna go back to normal, or is there a next step that you see on the horizon?
I anytime I see a grunt style shirt, I just know it means somebody's going to chew with their mouth open.
could you explain to our listeners what that style of shirt means?
Grunt style.
Oh, it's the ones that just, it's got like the AR-15 on it and the American flag. And I don't know if you're in the army and you wear it, or if it's just branding that's capitalizing on the military, because I'm not even trying to be right or left on this. I just think merchandising wise, conservatism, like, you're gonna get more money. You can market shittier merch.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing money in the hair dye department. That's all liberal. That's all turquoise, blue, and septum rings cashing in on the left.
That's a great point.
But anything with a gun or a Punisher logo, design doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed.
Trump's merch couldn't be worse. It sells more than Balenciaga does, probably. You know?
Yeah. Well, and also people dressing fancy at the airport. That is the most desperate look I've seen. Like, I don't, it's always one thing. Put some sleeves on if you're going to be touching flesh in a seat. It's always the biggest dudes with no sleeves.
Yeah.
Sleeves, dude. No skin to skin. I don't want skin to skin.
No skin to skin.
Big people got to fly too. I will nestle up in between you and assume it's like cuddling, and I will fall asleep between you, but no skin to skin. But people like high heels and stuff, like Louis Vuitton luggage. I'm like, that they're going to throw that one extra hard at bagging. You
that
spent
is
how
true.
Much on this? I'm going to drop it 9 times for fun. See if it's worth it.
The Louis Vuitton rolling carrot, like it's an insane, it's $8,000. Like, I don't even think it's really impractical. And I'm an impractical guy who would want to buy something like that, but I've resisted for the reasons that you state.
No, as long as you seem to be at least clean, as comfortable as possible at the airport. Okay.
I'm with it.
I always have soft luggage, so it could be crammed into somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pulling a 3-piece suit out of that duffel bag. Don't worry.
No one was worried. No one was
worried.
Do not worry. No one was worried.
Yeah. Oh, there's a crease in my peg boy shirt. I guess I'll have to put a flannel over it for this gig tonight.
That's good.
Shit.
All of our over 40 listeners just really 5-starred that joke. Chris and I don't do a lot of vacationing willingly. We do it because of our spouses, but do you take time to vacation as somebody who's been to every single city 1,000 times?
We do. You know what? We would set aside time in around Christmas to go on vacations every year. Pandemic obviously squashed a lot of that, and it's been a little bit chaotic with us living in two different spots, but we're trying to plan some stuff for this year. We, outside of my snoring, which did destroy a European vacation for the both of us, I did wake up to her punching the headboard next to my face, just going, I can't fucking take it anymore.
And, no.
And you don't know because you're sure. Asleep. You're having the best sleep of your life because mm-hmm. You're snoring your fucking face off. Yeah.
Snoring means the sleep is better.
Yeah, yeah. And it means I'm like near death. And so I felt bad for that. I think it was a lot of wine. We were having a lot of wine near over death. There in Europe.
Have you tried sleeping with a mouth tape?
Mouth tape?
Yeah.
You're not familiar with this? I'm shocked you're not familiar with this.
Isn't that what they do to corpses? They have to ship overseas?
Yes. Similar but different.
So the bugs can't escape. No, it's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing that like you know, it's like a biohacking kind of bro science kind of thing that has ended up taking some wings and flying, but it's literally just taping your mouth shut while you go to sleep. So you're forced to breathe through your nose instead of your mouth.
I think I breathe through my mouth because I can't breathe through my nose. So if you just want me to die and look like I was an attempted kidnapping, sure, we'll try some mouth tape.
I too have a hard time breathing through my nose exclusively. I have some nasal congestion issues, classically. But I've found that when I tape the mouth, there's like 5 minutes of panic, and then it sort of calms down and you are able to, I don't know what your nasal situation is, but you are able to kind of calm down and breathe through your nose unless you have like a medical issue or something like that.
I did one of those sleep tests, and the guy, like, he wired me all up, mm-hmm. and then, you know, woke up afterwards like, oh yeah, you snore like a son of a bitch. Not sleep apnea though. I'm like, well, can you just say it is so I can get the fucking mask? Like, this is... This is hard on the relationship. Let me write it off on the insurance. What do you care? Just say I have.
Nothing wrong with you. You're just bad at sleeping, bad at life. That's it.
Yeah, I don't want to buy a used sleep apnea mask. God knows what kind of mucusy stalactites are hanging out in that thing. Yeah.
So you're saying that you went and did all this and the guy was like, yeah, you do snore, but there's nothing we can do for you, basically?
Yeah, I don't stop breathing long enough to qualify as sleep apnea, but I definitely stop breathing a lot.
Damn.
Just not one time more for insurance to cover.
I didn't know what the standards were for that. I thought it was kind of like, if you're fucked up and you want to spend the money on the machine, then you could spend the money on the machine.
No, it's you have to stop breathing for a certain amount of time. And I forget what the time is, but I was just under it. Your boy's still staying alive at night.
Underachiever.
Well, Kyle, do me a favor. Yeah. Pick up a roll of 3M medical tape over at Walgreens or Amazon. Tape it up. I have a beard too. You got to really stick it on there. Give it a try. Let me know how it goes. Okay.
This could change your life.
Yeah, because I could die.
Don't be a pussy, bro. Come on.
Yeah, don't
Death
be a pussy,
is definitely
bro.
The biggest change you can make to your life.
Death is a big change. Death is definitely a big change.
So it's a huge pivot.
You mentioned on the newest special, you have a good chunk about Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh yeah.
And you love them despite knowing how dumb they are. You're able to appreciate them. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, big movie buff cinephiles. Mm-hmm. They'll go see every Fast and Furious movie opening night, IMAX, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Chris and I haven't been able to really, I'm not able to do it. Can you, from one smart man to another, can you give me a tip or trick on how to appreciate it besides drugs, I guess?
You know how there's like a lot of cars in there? Cars are pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, okay. Right,
and then the cars do a lot of stuff that you wouldn't expect the cars to do.
Are you coming out as a gearhead?
Oh, I don't know the cars. I'm coming out as like a 6-year-old that's like, that's a cool car. Oh, that car's cool.
You know that they look sick.
That car's bigger than that one, but that other car's red. That's how I watch the Fast and Furious.
I have a more difficult time to the suspension of disbelief, I guess, or like, I, as soon as one thing happens that's not real, it's really hard for me to recover from that, if that makes sense.
That's where I choose to sign off, is on action movies. I don't watch fantasy or sci-fi, not like adamantly. I just don't gravitate toward it. Once Jar Jar Binks showed up,
mm-hmm.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. I haven't seen a Star Wars since then.
I'm out.
I saw that one in the theater. And that betrayed my childhood trust so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, absolutely not.
You said, Misa, never watch this again.
I don't even know what a Star Wars is. If it's, I don't know if Dune is Dune Marvel? I don't know. I don't know any of this. I can't tell anymore. It's all one thing. It's all the universe of superheroes.
Yeah, that's true.
Does Thor fight Darth Vader? I don't know.
Yeah, Dune is not part of the Marvel universe, from what I understand. Okay, but
why not?
But it may as well be. But it, as yes, long yeah. so as long as it's a bunch of multi-ethnic Americans who drive cars and live in a world with gravity and rules and laws, then it's okay to bend those a little bit, is what you're saying.
Bend them all the way. Bend them till they break, baby. I want to see. They put Ludacris in space in a Fiero.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. Now who wants to watch Fast and Furious?
Okay. Chris Bridges in space is what you're... Okay. Uh-huh. That's interesting. Uh-huh. And he's in...
I'm not to spoil anything.
Don't worry. I'm not going to see it. But he's in a car?
Did they do that in The Witch in the Wardrobe? Probably not.
Was he in a car? So you're saying that they put rapper Ludacris in space in a car?
Yes. It's a Fast and the Furious.
Okay, I'm understanding that. I'm having a tough time.
He's not in a car. Why is it in the movie?
I guess that's true. They're always in cars. I guess that's true.
Yeah, I don't want to step on any of your bit from the special, but Chris, you should he does a good 12-minute chunk on the ludicrousness of the Fast franchise. And it begins with Luda.
Yeah.
It goes into Tyrese's.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think those guys, it's crazy how rich they all are from doing those fucking movies. It's insane.
I think you could say it's crazy how rich they are and kind of point in any direction right now.
Yeah.
You mean rich people in general?
Yeah.
Just like Ludacris, I know you have $500 million from this franchise, but here's another $3 million for this Uber Eats Super Bowl commercial, just because why not, kind of thing. Or literally any of his other revenue streams.
What do you guys feel about millionaire podcast hosts?
I would like to be one.
Okay.
That's kind of it.
It depends, because there's kind of two roads to get there. You could slowly, organically build up your audience of people that love you and what you do, mm-hmm. and you earn that million the hard way. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, I'm a famous person from TikTok, and Spotify gave me $100 million to do 6 episodes of my stupid fucking podcast. That part is a bummer.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was pointing.
But I think if you do it the honest, real way, it's sweet.
You guys sound broke. You guys sound like broke haters right now. Broke ass haters. Broke haters. I'm happy when anybody's making money, because that means that I could be next. If nobody was making money, there's no hope.
Yeah, but all those $100 million deals, that there's one budget at Spotify and Amazon and all these places.
Bro, we were never going to get $100 million. We were never going to get $100 million.
He just wants $50 million. He just wants $50
million. I've said this many times. Yeah. You know, what is it called? Smartless. They've received multiple $100 million deals for their podcast since COVID. These are three people who have already millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Their podcast is fine, whatever. Just give me 1 million. You made $100 million and my podcast is 100th less popular than yours. I get 100% less listeners than you. Just give me 1%. Give me $1 million.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just not how...
Why can't we do that?
That's not how capitalism and society works, but I like this idea because... You're also assuming that Smartless knows what we are or cares about any other podcast. Those guys have never listened to a podcast.
Well,
absolutely not. Those guys go there.
Well, I'm not talking about them. They're not.
Yeah, now you got.
I'm talking about Jeff Bezos. No, we're getting a big Canaan bump, obviously. And thank you for taking the time to pod with us.
Jeff Bezos has never listened to a podcast either. I bet Daniel Ek hasn't either. That's my guess.
Wealth generates wealth, guys. We gotta think in the millionaire mindset, all right? We're not doing that.
That's what I'm saying.
We gotta really start pumping ourselves up. Jason, you're the only one with a backdrop that is demonstrating any type of success or positivity. You got a plant that's alive back there. That's good.
Kyle, look at this. You know what that is, Kyle?
Are you in your bathroom? What is that?
That's an infrared sauna.
Is that really?
Yeah.
What does that do?
I know you're a sauna man, right?
Yeah, but not that fake shit.
Oh, damn. He said you got a bitch sauna.
So are you saying you like a wet one?
I just was trying to rib you. What's an infrared sauna? Just lights? You just go in there, there's lights?
No, it's heated. It's basically like when you go to a place and there's the wet sauna with the tile and the steam, and then there's the dry sauna with the wood. Mine is like the dry sauna with the wood.
There's an air fryer next to it.
But instead of, you know, like a radiator with fake rocks on it, I have, It kind of just looks like an electric oven, just like things heat up. And then there's an infrared LED light.
I like that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's inside. You don't have to have any drainage or anything for
no.
that. There's no humidity.
No,
no drainage.
It also plugs into the wall standard. I don't have to get any extra voltage requirements, whatever. It has Bluetooth speakers as well as a place to put your iPad so I can watch movies.
Oh. I'm sorry, guys. This is your podcast, but now this is going to take a turn. So what's that? What's the hit on your power? What's your power
great
bill
question.
Going up every time you use it?
You know, I don't. The bills, it's not great. It's not as bad as like air conditioning in the summer. I'll tell you that. It's not that crazy.
Okay.
You get a little bit of a bump up, but it's well worth it to have the power of just coming home after, you know, like you had a long weekend, you're hungover.
Yeah.
You go get a big ass gallon of water, crank that thing up, watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, jack off. An hour later, you feel like $1 million, you know?
So you're beating off in there? You're just cooking it? You're just frying
No,
frying
maybe
eggs?
Afterwards. Before or after. I try not to beat off in there.
Okay, well, you said it in succession
right.
of like, this is what I do
right.
in the sauna. I was like,
I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying.
but okay, how long does it take to heat up?
I would say to get to where I like it to be, 35 minutes or so.
And do I need like a structure? I got a shower I'm not going to use. Can I just put one of these heat lamps in there?
You kind of do
one
need
of these
a structure.
Fast
yeah.
food prep lamps,
like for your iguana's cage kind of situation.
Something that keeps the food warm before the runners get it. You know.
Yeah.
For the runners get it on the pass, as it were.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My bolognese is dying on the line. No, it's like a company comes and two guys come, they drop it off of a truck, they set it up for you, they plug it in, and that's it. Bing, bam, you hit a button, come back a half an hour later, you're good to go. Sweating like a whore in church.
You got an indoor sauna, you live in Huntington Beach. That's wild, man. You guys are doing all right.
Actually, I live in Glendale.
Even better, man. It traps all the smog over there. It's always hotter in the valley.
Yeah, I'm just around the corner from Mark Maron. I was listening to your pod with him. In preparation earlier today, and it was nice. It was like a year ago,
yeah,
more or less.
I was promoting a different special then.
But it was interesting to hear you guys talking about how the comedy bubble is about to burst.
Yeah.
And do you feel as if it has not burst? The bubble has gotten bigger.
I would say the garbage I see on Netflix makes me think it hasn't burst yet.
The bubble has doubled.
We've double bubbled. Oh, no.
Yeah. The bubble's bigger.
Hey, maybe it's not a bubble. Maybe there's just more room for all this stuff to be out there, which it's kind of like, how can you find all of it? How can you sift through everything that's happening on YouTube or Netflix or any streaming service or any...
Unfortunately, the algorithm sifts it for you.
Yeah, the algorithm. I mean, you can see that can be juked and they can hijack the algorithm to force whatever they want, whatever the large machine wants you to see. You're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's like I could spend my time getting frustrated and trying to analyze that, or I could just keep my head down and try and just do good comedy, and the few people that know who I am right now, like, hey, tell your friends and come see live shows. That's all I can say. I'm not making money really off much anything else. Come see live comedy. I still like doing it. I don't know what's attracting more people to doing comedy. I think it's that you can cash in on being a personality more so than you can cash in on being a good comedian right now.
Oh yeah.
You know, social media has created, there's no such thing as only 15 minutes of fame. Now it's eternal fame.
Yeah.
And stand-up venues are a great way to just get immediate cash in hand as an internet personality that could just show up live somewhere and do an appearance and then just split with a grip of money without having to do much other than show up and be the person people like. It's not even stand-up shows now. It's podcast host speaking engagements.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Chris and I do, unfortunately. But
you're not. Are you fronting? You're not fronting as stand-ups, though.
Yeah, we don't pretend. We're not at the Comedy Store doing that. So it's
different. We're not fronting as stand-ups. We're just talking on stage and everything like that. But we're sort of the same ilk. Like, we don't do any TikTok. We don't do any clips. We don't do any you know, crowd work types of things. Like, we don't have a video podcast. We don't have the liquid death can on the desk or anything like that. We just We just pod, keep our heads down and pod and crank it out, and hopefully people will tell their friends. And luckily, you know, some people will come out to the live shows, and it's great. But if we turned on the TikTok faucet and did all that horse shit, we would probably be much bigger, but I would hate myself.
I do want to see what I do want to know the secret of liquid death. It does feel like Scientology, like it's somehow massive. And I've never seen anybody pay for a can of it.
No one's ever paid for a can of it. And I think that the type of person that they claim that's for, who feels uncomfortable in a situation where they don't have something in their hand,
yeah,
and then they feel more comfortable with that ugly ass can in their hand, is very baffling to me as well.
I mean, I get that it's like trying to like edge in on the energy drink thing, and if it's cans, because at least it's not plastic bottles. Like all this stuff seems very altruistic. I've never seen anybody buying one at a store, yet they have blanketed everything. I only see output. I don't see where they're making any money. And it's not a knock on them. I'm just very curious. Much like, why would somebody still join Scientology? You know it's a cult. Everybody says it's a cult. It's a huge cult. It's in the middle of LA. And you look at it like, there's a fucking cult. And then you see somebody walk in there like, yep, got to go see if there's ghosts on my bones today. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because life, it could make your life better, much like drinking a lot of water.
I guess so.
I feel like the liquid death, it's a water brand that is being run like a tech app startup or something like that. Like, we build it up. We don't have a plan for profitability just quite yet, but we're going to inflate this business to be valued at $4 billion and then have Pepsi buy us. And then, you know, it's all good. And they'll either just, they'll figure out a way to be profitable.
Yeah.
Or they just buy us to
shut us down. They did millions of dollars in merch last year.
Really?
Yeah, I think they make their money on merch, actually.
No, I think the water sells. I think it's people, luckily for us, it's people we don't know that are buying it, thank God. But the merch, yeah, there was like I think it was $7 million or something crazy. It was something insane that they did.
Yeah, I guess like at festivals. Yeah, I guess at festivals where everybody's on Molly and not buying alcohol, you can pump a $12 can of water.
I just don't like drinking water.
I'm not knocking it either. I'm just curious. I'm just very curious.
I don't like to drink water out of a can. It feels unnatural.
You're not wrong. You
pick your 30-pound dumbbell.
This feels natural. To me, this is natural.
That's liquid death. If you drank that whole thing in one sitting, you might dry drown.
I just did. Yeah. I just did.
Really?
I just did.
How are you not,
Kyle?
Kissing
it
yourself
ain't nothing
right
for
now.
Me, bro. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing for me. You guys have all your little drinks. That's cute. I had a.
You have to really hate yourself a certain
water.
Amount to consume that gallon every day. You know, and he does it every single day.
You had a child. You had a kiddie pool's worth of alkalized water.
I try to do it every day, but because we've been traveling, it's been tough, and they don't really give you water. I was in Korea, and the water is so small. It's these little, it's like the child sized bottles. You can never get a big bottle anywhere.
Well, where'd you go in Korea?
Seoul.
Seoul's great, man. I've been there a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, I guess because I was going to do comedy, I would have never I'm going to go to Seoul for vacation, but then I went out there to do comedy.
I didn't go for vacation either, but it was kind of comedy, I guess, when I look back on it. What the audience understands, they like your brand there?
They had, there was a couple of people that reached out to me that, because there's so many people that go there to teach English.
Yeah.
Oh. That they have like cities in America will have Chinatown. They have Americatown, Itaewon, I think it was, in Seoul. Yeah. And it's where all the people like go there to teach English. That's where they all hang out in because they can all speak English in this community.
And those people need to get drunk.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, all the guys that took it too far and moved to Korea to marry an Asian woman, they couldn't just do it in LA. They teach English and they come see you do stand-up.
There's a lot of like the post-college, like I'm not ready to just lock it down into a career in the States and do that whole routine. So I'm going to go over here and still kind of like be somewhere else in the world for a while. And that was who I was hanging out with. But then there's a few people who were like, oh, you are unwelcome where you were from. So now you are in Asia.
Yeah, you're running from something.
Anytime you see a 50-year-old still getting drunk somewhere like in China, you're like, you are a criminal elsewhere.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Unless there's a camera crew with him. He's up to no good.
Yeah.
You're running.
Yeah.
When you go do an expat show over in Korea, do you like figure out material on the plane over there, or do you just kind of do your normal stuff? Do you build a Korean set?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if like you've been over there, you know that just looking around, you're like, this is such a culture shock that I am going to comment on it. Like, I think I did 20 or 25 minutes on just going to their seafood market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, that's why it's like a city block and there's like stacks of manta rays and shit. Like, jellyfish hanging like chandeliers, like to eat. Like, what? No, absolutely not.
Manta rays stacked 10 head high. Okay. Yeah, we do the same thing. Actually, speaking of, and as we're closing things out, what city in America have you found has the least or the worst sense of humor about making fun of themselves?
Phoenix.
Is it Boston?
No, Phoenix.
Phoenix. Really?
Last time I got away with it a little bit more, I think I was being a little more charming. But I don't know. Phoenix has been the toughest nut to crack for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird. It's a weird place to me. It's like a newer city. It's very built up, and I've never been there long enough to find the groove of it. Which is a bit is the same complaint people have about Los Angeles. That if you visit there for a week, it's fucking terrible. Like you really do have to be there for 2 months and have somebody who knows you take you into the neighborhoods and see the actual nuance of the city. So I think my criticisms of Phoenix are the same criticisms that somebody would have for Los Angeles.
And the bigger the city, the more they want to hear you make fun of them because they feel superior to you. So it's okay versus a small town.
I mean, a little bit. Like Phoenix was like, I remember saying like, oh man, it's, talking about Phoenix and people were like, oh no, I'm from Tempe. I agree. Like you're from Phoenix. Don't, you're not. It's all Phoenix. No, I'm in Scottsdale. You're in Phoenix. I'm sorry. It is. You're still in Phoenix.
It's all Phoenix. You're absolutely right. It's a state. The state should be called Phoenix.
Yeah. Is it beige and gaudy and people still think that yellow Hummers are cool? Then you're in Phoenix. That's Phoenix. Mm-hmm.
Welcome home.
Is it about going to be 128 today? Yeah.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
But you have an ice skating rink outside because you just want to... You need an affront to God to prove that you're living well? Okay, you're in Phoenix. Flagstaff, great. Tucson, love it. Grand Canyon, amazing. Rest of Arizona, wild stuff. Oh, Phoenix. What are you doing?
All right, Kyle. Well,
thank you, Kyle.
Thank you for taking the time to pod with us. The new special's out March 4th. It's called Dirt Nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it last night, and it is very funny. I don't want to give any of it away. You guys should all go watch it. You can like pre-save it on YouTube. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you can pre-order it. It'll be on the 800-pound Gorilla Media website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming with like a bunch of download codes. I just want people to watch it. You know, I don't know. I don't know how to get new people to see stuff. Here's buy it for $10, get 4 or 5 download codes, or everybody pay $2 and then you all get a copy. Just share it with people.
Yeah, have your bros over, everyone chip in $1, order some Carl's Jr.
Watch it on a TV. Yeah, watch it on a TV. Don't watch it on your phone.
Don't watch it on your fucking
phone.
Take
a break.
Take a break.
Put one screen down in order to watch another
one. Yeah, take a break. I like what you consider a break.
Put your phone down. Watch some TV.
Thank you, Kyle. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.